Being consistent with your worldview, I guess. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Hopefully I'm consistent with my worldview tonight.
Well, I hope we all are, Charles. But you know what? Worldviews do matter because you can be extremely consistent with your worldview and they can lead to some significantly catastrophic consequences. Or you can be consistent with your Christian worldview and it can lead to great blessings. Now, we're not going to be talking about the blessing side of it much tonight. Maybe we'll get into that. But what we are going to be talking about is we're going to be talking about somebody, a public official, who is very consistent with their worldview. Chuck, the person we're talking about is the minority whip in the United States House of Representatives, a gentleman, Democrat representative from the state of Maryland by the name of Steny Hoyer. And I'm sure that most of our listeners might be familiar with Representative Hoyer's name because he was very close to former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. He was actually the second in command when Nancy Pelosi was the House Speaker. But now that they've dropped back into the minority, Steny Hoyer has now become the whip. He's the member who goes around to his fellow colleagues in his caucus and the Democrats when a vote's coming up, and he counts noses or twists arms to get a nose count. That's what a whip does. He whips up the vote, per se. Well, Steny probably should stick to his day job, which is just counting noses and getting votes, instead of waxing philosophical from his world about the things in our country that he sees that are good and positive. Because just earlier this week, and we are looking at this out of an article from CNSnews.com by a article writer by the name of Elizabeth Harrington, that Representative Hoyer has, well, I guess what most of us would be considered a not fully orbed view. In speaking to reporters on Capitol Hill about this whole idea, because right now the two caucuses, the Republicans and the Democrats, are wrestling and struggling over the extension of or reduction of or changing to the what they call the Bush tax cut, which was a series of tax reduction provisions that were passed during the administration of George Bush and are now up for some significant amount of discussion with this Congress because they are coming due for renewal or for removal, depending on which side of the aisle you stand on. And so as he was being asked questions by the press corps, he basically waxed poetic about his worldview on the economy. And Chuck, I kind of stand a little flabbergasted at this man who's supposedly very powerful, probably respected leader in his state and in his caucus in Washington, D.C. in the Congress, but that he said that the best thing you can do to stimulate the economy, the two most important things that stimulate our economy, what would you think they would be, Chuck? If you were thinking from a politically, what would it be? It would be tax reductions and helping small businesses or removing regulations. Those are the kind of things.
Regulatory removal and cutting taxes.
Yeah, those are the things we would think would help our struggling economy get back on the right track. Not according to Steny Hoyer. And he said, well, if you talk to economists, and it's interesting, he never names any economists that he supposedly talked to. If you talk to economists, they will tell you there are two things that are the most stimulative that you can do. And here they are, Chuck. Unemployment insurance and food stamps. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. The best thing you can do to stimulate the economy is lose your job, go on unemployment, and start collecting welfare. That will help stimulate our economy, according to House Minority Whip Steny Hoyer of Maryland. Now, Chuck, I sat there, and I think I probably... first time I saw this article and read through it, but I was laughing so hard my sides hurt.
Okay, what economist is he talking to? Now, obviously, he's not talking to Austrians. And by that, we mean Austrian economic people or the Chicago School, either one. And by the Chicago School, we don't want to get into the minutiae of that, but the Austrians and the Chicago School are similar, except that the Chicago School are monetarists. They actually believe that the Fed can do something about about fixing the economy by pumping money into it. Hoyer is actually talking about Keynesians who basically think that you can pump money into the bottom end of the whole platform and then it's going to trickle up to the top. And in fact, What we're talking about is being able to make sure that the people who have the money to invest have it to invest so that there can be jobs and they can invest it in the places. This is from an Austrian. They can invest resources in the places that is going to bring the most return to them, and therefore they're going to be able to hire people. And when people are hired, then there's money flowing into the middle and the bottom parts of the platform. What Hoyer is saying is they're going to pump all this money into the bottom by robbing from the top. He's got to know, Barry. He has to know that that has never worked.
Yeah,
ever.
But the point is he's standing on his guns, Chuck, because he goes, instead of just leaving that statement hang out there in midair for to be interpreted by us, he decides to interpret it himself. And he says, why is that? He goes, because those folks who receive the resources must spend them. So in other words, he doesn't even believe savings is a good stimulus for our economy. It's just hand people money, redistribute money from people, because the two things you talked about, Chuck, unemployment insurance and food stamps, both are government-run programs where the government takes the money and redistributes it to people. So hand them redistributed money because they have to spend them in order to survive. So in other words, don't give them enough, even if you think, even if you believe government should be handing people money. What's implied in Hoyer's worldview here is that people should not be receiving enough money to be able to prosper on, just enough that they have to turn around and spend it. As he says, they'll spend them almost upon receipt, so that they cannot build up any type of a savings, any type of a nest egg, any type of a fallback that they can use then to later invest in other things like education or tools or equipment or entrepreneurial risk-taking. No, just get everybody on food stamps and unemployment and just make it low enough so that everybody has to spend it as soon as they get it in order to survive. That's Denny Hoyer's plan for improving our economy.
Which leaves no money for any kind of investment into creating new resources.
Right.
This is based on what I would call a false assumption. And I would call it the Scrooge McDuck assumption. And that is, if you remember the old Scrooge McDuck comics, Scrooge McDuck was like the richest duck in the world. And he would take all the money he earned and convert it to gold coins. And he threw it in a great big, like a swimming pool.
The money bin, yes.
And he would dive into it and just kind of like backstroke around and swim in it. And just would like cover himself in it and do all these silly things with all this gold that he had collected.
Yeah, now don't be smirched. My ideal of Scrooge McDuck, and he's one of my favorite comics of all time, is Uncle Scrooge. So, yeah, you're learning a little bit about me today, too. But the point is, you're right. That's exactly what he would do, and he was a miser. He had his number one dime that he earned when he was a young child in Scotland, shining shoes.
Yeah, that's right. And the whole joke of that thing was, you never saw Scrooge McDuck actually investing in anything. He always came up with a scheme to increase his wealth, but I never saw him manufacture anything. That is the joke. Of course, people who have money have done something to get it. They've all had a company or been involved in a corporation or done something productive that employs people. You've got old money, and old money eventually all runs out. You think about this. The Kennedys had gazillions of dollars, and the Rockefellers had gazillions of dollars, and the Vanderbilts had gazillions of dollars. And as you people die and you dilute out, if you have five kids, you'd split the fortune up among the five kids. It dilutes and it dilutes and it dilutes and it dilutes. And eventually that fortune is spread around. Hearst newspapers. Well, let's face it. Who's making money in newspapers these days? It's dinosaur media.
Yes.
The only people making money have invested into the internet. That's where the money is these days. And even some places like the Institute for Principled Policy, there's no money in it.
We're not here for the money. We're here for the enjoyment.
Well, that's right. This is the only way to get the message out these days. You and I could start a newspaper. We could borrow $10,000 and start printing newspapers, and we'd be out $10,000 because nobody would buy them.
Yeah, I don't think it works so well. I think a libertarian movement in Ohio did something like that a couple of years ago and started putting a new newspaper on the street. And as far as I know, it didn't get very far.
Well, we had friends. You and I have a common friend who took over a newspaper at a very bad time.
Yes.
And they are now doing internet publishing. There is no printed edition of that paper anymore. So this is the kind of thing that's going on, Barry. Businesses are constantly transforming. They have to either transform themselves into the next thing that's coming, the next technology or the next way to do business, or they die. And those people that were doing that job get laid off. This is the buggy whip theory. The government is going to fix things by subsidizing the buggy whip industry. Well, we could still have people making carriages and buggy whips for no known reason under that theory. The fact is the government needs to clear out, let the businesses fail that are going to fail, and the new ones come up that are going to come up. And the way you encourage that is by allowing people to keep money that they can invest in these things. And instead, they're talking about taxing, so they can pump money into the lower end of the people who used to work for industries that were viable and now are not. And instead of encouraging them to get out and get into a new industry, we're encouraging them to sit there and collect their unemployment for 99 weeks and then go on food stamps. Not particularly stimulative.
Well, according to Steny Hoyer, that and unemployment are the two most stimulating things you can do for your economy. And what he's basically saying, Chuck, is the money pump. Government brings it in, then we hand it out. Look at all the spending that's going on that's turning right back around and government's pumping it back out again.
Well, let's dispel that myth for a minute. The money pump. Okay, for every dollar that the government collects from you in taxes, how much actually gets into the social welfare program?
Good question.
Okay, the highest rate. Let's just assume that the dollar was taken specifically. Let's take a specific dollar because the percentages become much smaller when you take out for national defense and all the other things. That dollar, basically the highest rate that money is transferred in the welfare structure in the United States is about 25%. So in other words, 75% of your dollar that goes into that's taxed for the federal welfare system, 75% of it gets chewed up in bureaucracy. So if they're talking about creating jobs, yes, they're creating more and more and more bureaucratic jobs, which eat up more and more and more money. And remember, there's an old maxim that a dollar in your community that's spent at the hardware store goes around seven times. A dollar that's picked right up by your local government goes around twice.
Exactly.
So that's that disparity. And as your government picks up more and more and more of your money, it goes around fewer and fewer and fewer times, meaning there's less of it to go around. And eventually what that does is that overloads the system and everybody ends up out of a job. Nobody's got any money to spend. It's all going in taxes. Taxes don't go away because you lose your job, which is why we have a lot of people in foreclosure right now. A lot. Taxes are still due. Mortgages are still due. Electric bills are still due, all that stuff. And just pumping money into the bottom of the system where it basically goes around once or twice does nothing. You have to let it come out and you have to let recessions happen because what it does is it corrects people who shows them where they need to invest and where they need to kill their investments. And this is where old line businesses die and new line businesses come out. And people reevaluate what their values are that they put on certain assets. I realize that people don't like Austrian economics. These are the facts. They're the only guys who are getting it right.
Well, we know Steny Hoyer must not be an Austrian economist because he's definitely not getting this one right.
Oh, no.
And that's the difference in worldviews, ladies and gentlemen. When you have a bad worldview, you don't get it right.
And unfortunately, Hoyer, who was very vocal when the Democrats were in power, saying mostly the same things. This was how the healthcare thing was going to be this great boon. My wife and I were sitting watching the news or something, and an ad came on and talked about how much better our life was going to be as the healthcare law took effect. And I'm like, you mean the taxes I'm going to have to pay because we'll not buy into the system, thanks to the Supreme Court and the United States Congress? Well, ladies and gentlemen, Steny Hoyer is clearly incorrect on this. You know, Barry, very soon we're going to have from Camp American a basic economics video that's going to be about 2 hours long, taught by a common friend of ours, Dr. Sasha Volacord, who up until recently was the head of the Business and Government Relations Department at Ohio Christian University, who gave a very excellent presentation on the basics of Christian economics and then a Christian economic view of the current crisis. And honestly, I was very impressed with that presentation. I think we ought to make that available to our listeners as soon as I've got it cut and ready to go. I think we'll do that.
Excellent.
That being said, we are out of time.
I figured we might be.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, hopefully we're not out of time in this economy, but I think if we follow Steny Hoyer's advice, we are in the last minutes of our economy.
Yeah, hopefully not. But here's praying. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.